This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
And we've got one part of Exile here, Steve Gotsman. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. How are you today?
All right, man. Yes. We're just waiting for Sonny.
Yeah. Sonny might be a couple of hours late.
Couple of hours late?
Yeah, I'm kidding. Hey, by the way,
here he is. Go ahead, Steve.
Yo.
Hey, Sonny.
Hey.
It's Kent Blazy. Sonny. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah. Kent Blazy was just on this show.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I just went away less than a minute ago. I grew up kind of with Kent. He and I went to the same high school together.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Were you in Woodstock, too?
Yep. And the very first band audition I went to, it was his band. It was just two other guys. It was in the garage. They were trying to put this band together. Now, he says that I told them they weren't good enough for me. I don't
think. That's awesome.
He had mentioned Woodstock, and I was like, well, what year? And we got on the subject about the summer Bob Dylan was there, and then he told me that his cousin was the first responder to arrive when Dylan had his motorcycle accident. And now you're telling me you were there around the same time, too. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Same high school. That's nuts.
Yeah.
It's a Swell World music, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. We've been buddies with Kent for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so. Wow. Well, you know, it's great to have you back, Sonny. Steve, this is brand new for you.
Yeah.
We've got to talk to Sonny a couple times before. Stormy,
yeah.
Just so you know, Steve, Stormy is familiar with music. Her dad was a big musician in Motley Crue.
The guitar player.
Yeah, the guitar player, Motley Crue. So you've got music background there. Dean has several shows on Sirius XM and Strike TV. So, and then there's me, the nerd. Mm-hmm.
Pretty heavy company tonight.
Yes. Good company till that's the wrong song. All right.
Hey,
so,
before we start,
yeah,
just real quick. Start. How is your dad, by the way?
He's doing good.
Yeah.
Not bad for an old fart.
Hey, you're talking to two of them, okay?
His album's going to be released on the 30th of this month. So.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Great.
Yeah, his solo stuff. I know. Years, right?
Solo album. I am so excited for that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you both, and it's great to have the drummer here. I mean, Steve, you've been with the band. You've been with the band from the beginning.
Well, I actually joined in 77, but I had known the band and known the members of the band for probably 10 years before that. And been friends and done a lot of recording, independent session recording with a few of the members. So, but officially with the band 1977.
Well, let me just say this. And Dean, I'm going to tag into something that you had worked on and just kind of skirt the surface. Dean had done kind of an expose or research on a band called Little River Band.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the trials and tribulations that they have gone through,
yeah.
Yet you in Exile have been able to hold it together as buddies for over how many years, right?
Well, yes, umpteen years, yes.
Yeah.
Holding on to your music and your stuff and being collaborative. I mean, it just seems like the other way is an absolute nightmare, Dean, right? I mean,
well, keep in mind what happened to them, we won't get into now, actually involved their manager and things that were unknown.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the point is that you guys have been able to hold it together
we've had a really great run, and we are all blessed to, well, for lack of a better way to say it, to have each other. We're all from Kentucky, and we all feel that that's part of the glue. Being in Kentucky and not in Nashville or LA or New York, we didn't have many other options. So that's part of what held us together, along with everything else. But we've learned how to get along like a family. And it's I have to say, it's healthy and fun.
That's wonderful. You know, before I got into, I wanted to get into your new record here. I wanted to play a clip of something because this song celebrated an anniversary recently that everyone knows, Kiss You All Over. I mean,
yeah.
Anywhere you go, any comment you ever see, TikTok is loaded with people playing that song.
Yep.
The longevity of it. There was a performance you did in the UK in 1978.
Yeah.
And I was going to play a clip of it here.
Okay.
Go back in time a little bit, and then we'll come forward to the present with your great new music here.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do, so what I'm going to do is just hit mute real quick so it doesn't echo. I want to play this for everyone here. This, again, is, of course, the iconic Kiss You All Over. Now, this is from a British or UK show, BBC on BBC 4. Let's play a little bit of this here.
From Kentucky, USA, they've got a smash hit at number 33. First time in this country as well for Exile. They're going to Kiss You All Over.
Gonna get home, babe. Gonna light your fire. All day I've been thinking about you, babe. One desire. Gonna wrap my arms around you and hold you close to me. Oh, babe, I wanna taste your lips. I wanna be your fantasy. Yeah. Know where I'd be. You're not just another lover, though you're everything to me. And every time I'm with you, baby, I can't believe it's true. When you lay in my arms and you do the things you do, you can see it in my eyes, I can feel it in your touch. You don't have to say a thing to show how much I love you. Need you, yeah. I wanna kiss you all over and over again. I wanna kiss you all over till the night closes in. Till the night closes in.
I want to bring this back here because I want to call out something in Sonny. Your bass, man, it gets so resonant and loud in there. In that,
yeah, it does. It does. I'll tell you something about that performance, by the way. That was a long running show in the UK called Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops, yeah.
Yes, and it was similar to what the Midnight Special was in the US. You know, I mean, it was the pop show on BBC that they had every week. Mm-hmm. Now, when we went to London to do the show, there were musician union bylaws that required us to re-record the song. So we went in the studio. I can't remember what studio we were in, but the head of our label, legendary producer, songwriter, guy named Mickey Most, who had, you know, during the heyday of the British invasion, all that stuff, he had produced The Animals, Herman's Hermits, I mean, all kind of, Donovan, all kind of British bands. But he was the head of our label in the UK and the rest of the world outside of the US. And that song is re-recorded. We had to buy, you know, because of the bylaws of the musicians union, re-record the song. And we did it in about four or five hours. Did it, wow. And that's what's being played is the re-recorded version.
So, what I'd like to add, we had Brian Bassett on here not too long ago, and Wild Cherry, and obviously, you know, I play that funky music, White Boy. But I failed to ask him the question. I'm going to ask you. So, what's it like to have a song that when you walk in and see a cover band, there's a high probability you're going to hear them play that song?
It feels great.
Yeah.
You know, when we were growing up, you know, I mentioned growing up with Kent Blazy, you know, you're dreaming every day. You're dreaming of being a star. And then all of a sudden you sort of get plucked out of the masses and the light is shown on you. And for me, in the beginning, it was a sensory overload. It was a profound adjustment to suddenly be chosen, if you will. And but then mm-hmm. you know, we moved into it pretty quickly, and it's a great honor and a privilege, and it's wonderful.
Did you ever walk up and go, yeah, you're not doing that right?
No. You know, the fact that a group of guys or girls or somebody that's playing your song on stage, it's such a flattery, you know, type of flattery and an honor. It's just an amazing feeling when that does happen.
Yeah, it's cool.
What, and I'm going to get to the new album here very next, but I want to ask Steve, since this is the first time I've had you here.
Okay.
What's a song that you love to play the drums on in Exile? Like in your set, everywhere you're looking forward to being you?
Well, I like many of them. I guess my favorite is I Could Get Used to You, because it's the most R&B feeling song that we play. And as a drummer, you know, I like R&B. So it would have to be that one.
Yeah. I like that answer, because I'm always curious, because, you know, and a lot of times in a band, you know, you sometimes just you have to stick to the 4-4 or whatever. But when you can branch out a little or be, like you said, the R&B style.
Yeah.
You show all over kind of has that R&B groove to it, too.
Yeah, it does.
When we went in to record, Mike Chapman was our producer. He also co-wrote the song. And he had come to rehearse the song with us a week or two prior to the studio, to going in the studio. And he said to me, are you familiar with the current Barry White hit? And I said, yes, I don't remember what it was at the time. And he said, that's what I want you to play on Kiss You All Over. So I listened to the record very carefully, and it was almost like a metronome. There were no fills. It was just a deep groove. Mm-hmm. From beginning to end, and so that's what I played on Kiss You All Over.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't look. So in the 80s, as you're in country now, and being that you have a strong love for R&B, you know, Willie Nelson, 70s, he went down to Muscle Shoals because Nashville was very, you know, not feeling the R&B.
Yeah.
Was that still very much the case in the 80s, or were you free to incorporate R&B, or what studios did you go to?
What studios?
Yeah, well, did you record in Nashville? Did you use Nashville studios in the 80s?
We did.
In the 80s, yes, we did all of our records in Nashville.
So well, was there no pushback for an R&B type feel in the 80s by that time?
Well, there's always been a slot for an R&B, and Sonny, you know, you can jump in anytime, but there's always been a slot for an R&B flavored country act, at least one slot. And so... you know, we can play country and we love it and we believe in it. But we also have that R&B bent, and there really wasn't any resistance in Nashville at all that we noticed.
Interesting.
We just did what we did.
Yeah. There was a studio that our producer in country music, Buddy Killen, always recorded in. It was called Sound Shop. And unfortunately, it's gone, along with a lot of other landmark things on Music Row. But the majority of our music was recorded in that studio. And, you know, one of the things that attracted us, or Buddy Killen to us, when our manager approached Buddy if he would be interested in producing Exile, and he was very familiar with Kiss You All Over. And he said, oh, yeah, I'd love to. So after initial meetings and everything, when we finally got our deal, Buddy was well aware that we had a kind of an R&B band. I mean, we had our pop things, but there was always kind of an R&B thing. And I'll tell you this, Steve can verify this. We got our deal with Epic Records. All these execs were there from Epic, Columbia, CBS Epic. And we played in this little showcase. We used to do a bang-up Motown medley, and I mean it was smoking. We played that medley at the end of our little set, and all the executives from the record company lost their minds. Mm-hmm. They flipped out, and I think that may be one of the reasons they actually signed us.
Yeah, the head of the label, if you remember, Rick Blackburn was Epic Records, signed us. And Rick actually told us later on that, you know, he was loving the band and he loved the songs and he loved the performance and everything. But what really got us signed was the Encore Motown medley.
Yeah, that's great. It did the trick. It did the trick. Yeah.
Look at that.
You got to have soul.
Hey, yeah.
Gotta have soul. Well, let's get into the new record here.
Yeah.
I want to, so Sonny, you seem to get onto a writing binge. A lot of these songs you and JP wrote, or you wrote, or JP wrote. Were you just feeling the creative juices over time? Are these written over a period of time, or?
They were. For the most part, the majority of the music was written in about, in a year and a half. You know, I think around 2021, we'd come out of the pandemic and we'd actually recorded, one of the first things we did was record a Christmas project called Joyful Noise, which had all original music. And by the way, we're very proud of that. It is a really, really proud of that project. Well, after the project, JP and I were talking, and maybe all the guys, about, you know, upcoming, we knew 2023 would be the 60th anniversary. And what did we want to do to kind of capitalize on that? And we decided that we would, you know, write an album, write a new project. So we got busy, JP and I, and we enlisted the talents of a lady that's named Sharon Vaughn. And Sharon is a Hall of Fame songwriter too. And the three of us on Zoom, once a week, about once a week, we'd get together, you know, whoever would have the idea, and we'd write a song. And, you know, once we started, we got into this kind of this rhythm of things, and we would go into the studio and record three at a time. You know, we'd record those three, we'd go back and write some more, record those three, and you know, wound up with 16 tracks that we were going to do on the album.
Amazing. You know, need to pause for a second to recognize 60 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're a very small company. What, Rolling Stones? Guess who? They're all out there touring. I think.
No, probably. No. I mean, you know, the Beach Boys, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they started in 62 or 63.
But still out there playing, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're fractured, you know. I mean, there's Mike Love doing this, that, and the other, and then there's Al Jardine or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's about it, really.
I think.
As far as we know, Beach Boys and the Stones are the only ones who could be ahead of us. Stones, for sure, they played their first show in 1962.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously they're an English band. Beach Boys, I'm not really sure that they're still going. I guess they are.
In name, in some form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you said it best. It's mainly Mike Love, really. I
mean, it is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, the bucket list thing for me is I got to see Brian Wilson live, and that was.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What a talent.
Well, hey, I'm old enough that I actually saw the original Beach Boys, the lineup, you know, with Brian and Carl and everybody.
Wow.
In like 60, I saw him in 62 or 63.
Wow.
I saw him twice. Mm-hmm. Or three times. I'm sorry. The third time is when Brian decided he wasn't going to be, you know, touring anymore. And Glenn Campbell was the bass player.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That was around Pet Sounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Brian. Glenn was on the road. And I'm going to tell you a quick little story. When we worked with Glenn Campbell, I told him that I said, man, I saw you back in the day with the Beach Boys. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, I actually remember something you said on stage. And he said, really? And don't ask me how or why I remember this. But when they introduced him, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, taking Brian Wilson's place, this is, you know, Glenn Campbell. He walked up to the mic and he said, roses are red, violets are bluish. If it wasn't for Christmas, everybody'd be Jewish. And he started laughing. I mean, he just laughed. And you know, I can't tell you why I remember that little thing, but I
did.
It
was funny, Sonny.
You know what it was? It was funny.
Did he remember that? Did he go, yeah, that sounds like something I'd said.
I'm not sure that he really remembered it. No, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That is funny.
What a memory, though. Oh, we just asked Steve.
Steve
got excited and pressed the button.
Oh, no.
I'll just wait for Steve. I'll get Steve back here. But
yeah, we'll get him back.
Well, here he is.
Hey.
Oh, and
there you are, Steve.
He wanted to be on the left side. He wanted to be on the left side. He was in the
right
side.
That sun is right beneath me.
Yeah, that's right. So let's do this. I want to play the first track because I think A Million Miles Later, there, and Dean, this is why I'm excited to have Exile here. I was hoping to get them because you were working on a piece about harmonies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because this is going to tie into this song because there's harmonies in this song that just blow me away.
Well, yeah, I'd spent several months this year working on the Little River Band post. And then, you know, Randy Meisner died. And I thought, you know what, let me reach out to some folks. I reached out to Huey Lewis and Peter Beckett from Player and a few others because it hit me that, you know, Randy Meisner's voice, iconic, very important at that high harmony in those early days of the Eagles. And it really started to hit me that, wow, the bands that were really iconic that came out of the 70s, you can almost go down and say harmony was a big part of their sound. Three-part, many of them had a high harmony. And then you move into the 80s with rock and, you know, maybe it still remained true in country, but on the rock side, they really moved away from the harmonies. You've got Def Leppard did three-part with a high harmony and Dokken.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they lost. They went away from it. And I really think that that's the secret sauce of an iconic band is the harmonies.
Yeah.
So that's the piece I'm working on now to really put the attention back on these bands that, such as yourself, that focused on harmonies.
Yeah.
Well, and that's... And that's going to tie into this song. I think that you know, you kick off your record, this tune. And what I'm going to do is hit the mute again so that I can share this and reduce the echo. This is the song, A Million Miles Later. And just focus on this part. I think I got it queued up to the part I want to talk. Whoop. And I clicked out. What an ass. Hold on a second. Whoops. I got eager and clicked out of the song. You son of a... Hold on. Let me get it back. It was at 248. 248 is the time of the track here. So let me get this back. 248. Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. So I got to go back and reshare. A little technical difficulties here. That's just me being stupid. Here we go. This is it. I think I got it. A Million Miles Later is the track. Got the echo right. Got everyone on mute. Here we go. 248. Here it is. 246. Love the album fade out, which music doesn't do anymore when they let songs fade out like it's gonna bleed in like an 8-track. I love that in that part too. But again,
I made notes on that song too.
Yeah, go ahead, Stormy.
I made notes on that. Yeah, I put oh my goodness, Vox, the harmonies.
The harmonies are incredible on that song.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, what I love about it is, and we've talked to a handful of younger artists that are coming out, and the thing that we've been starting to comment on is we're hearing a return to almost 90s style country sensibility, which is awesome. It sounds great. Mm-hmm. And again, what I'm hearing here is a return to, you know, that great country sound from late 80s into the 90s. This is awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, so, that's one of my favorite tracks. It's just one of my favorite tracks on the project. My favorite songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great, and I like to. I like when the person's doing lead vocal, and then as that lead vocal is still kind of trailing off, the gang vocal kicks in with the harmony.
Sure.
It's always been one of my favorite things.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah.
Good job.
You know,
go ahead.
No, go on. I'm just saying, you know, when we were writing for the project, we certainly needed a title. And when we came up with that song, when we wrote the song, it seemed obvious that to celebrate 60 years, that would be the title of the album, you know, and to kick the whole thing off with that song too. And you know, it's our love letter to our fans. You know, it's about a long term relationship. It could work that way, but we really wrote it about everybody that has stayed with the band for all these years.
This
is the kind of our tribute to them for sticking with us all these years.
Steve, when the song is presented to you sometime, have you ever a moment where that song came to you and you went, oh my God, I love this. Like you're in the rehearsal space and it just hit you. I mean, you could say the thing and say every song, but I mean, do you have a moment? Uh-oh. Is he on mute still? I'm not hearing you, Steve. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
He's not on mute either. I'm checking here.
He may have done that himself on accident.
Yeah.
We can't hear you, Steve.
Steve.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you go out and come back in again? I don't know.
Yeah, log off.
Go out and come back in. I don't know why. I don't know why.
That's weird.
Darn.
I thought it just
heard. I wanted to hear his answer. Yeah. I wanted to hear his answer. I was curious
I'm curious to what he'll say to you about
it. Yeah. I've always wondered.
He seemed excited about it. He's like.
Yeah. He's like trying to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, did I hit his mute button still? No. And then what I want, the next song I wanted to talk to you about is Valiant Sky.
Well, I'll tell you all about it.
Good. Yeah. I love that song. Hopefully Steve comes back in a second.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I was hoping Steve would poke back in here. Well, why don't we talk about it and then I'll come back to Steve's question. So Valentine's Sky, you wrote that with Sharon Vaughn.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Okay. Well, I wrote the song. It's one of the songs of maybe I think two that were written previously, you know, years ago. I wrote it in 2004.
Wow.
Now, my youngest daughter, Chloe, her birthday is February 15th, which is, of course, the day after Valentine's Day. And right before her birthday, she was three, getting ready to turn four, I put her in a car seat and we were headed to the market just to get some bread or milk or whatever. And this was February 13th. So Valentine's Day was the next day. And on the way to the market, I'm thinking about whatever I'm thinking about. And all of a sudden in the back seat, she said, "Daddy, look, a Valentine's sky." And aww. I thought, what? So, I mean, it kind of just hit me. So the next day, I went in to write with Sharon, and we had started something else. And I told her what had happened. She said, "Man, we got to write that." So, I mean, literally, I honest to God, 30 minutes, it's done. It was just done. And I kept the song forever, and because I didn't know what to do with it, you know.
Did you not think it was an exile song? Is that why?
It was so personal. I just wasn't sure. So I think in 2010 or 11, I played it for the guys, and they loved it. And we did a demo back then. And we've always had it in the back of our minds to kind of, you know, if we ever got the chance to really record it. And again, this project came about, and we recorded it. And, you know, it's just one of those things that it obviously touches me. You know, I wanted to write something that kind of had this whimsy, this almost childlike melody, you know, just like a thing, but with a kind of a deeper lyric. And, you know, I think we did, and it turned out great.
Absolutely. Well,
what was it? Was there a heart cloud in the sky or something?
Well, it just, when I looked over, there were all these crimsons and different shades of reds, you know, but okay. The sky was just lit up that night. You know, it was just beautiful.
And, all the mouths, you know, of babes, huh?
Exactly. Cool, exactly. And mm-hmm. I always, you know, part of me always thought that we could write some kind of a little book about that, you know, with incorporating the band and stuff,
right.
as kind of a tribute to our kids or grandchildren. Sure. But you know, that hasn't come about, but I've always had that idea.
Wow. Well, you know, that's a good tie in to let me play a clip of this song here. I want 111. It's such a beautiful ballad. And so we'll do that. And then I'm going to come back to Steve because I think his audio is working now. I muted him right now, but we're going to come back to that. This is Valentine's Sky. I'm going to go to 111 because this is such a beautiful ballad here. So here we go.
It's like the world knows our names, never to be forgotten. Clear across the horizon on our favorite day. Wherever you are, I'm sending this to you, your very own Valentine's Sky.
Just beautiful with the harmonies together. My goodness gracious. And then you get the backstory. Yeah, Sonny, that's a beauty. I'm glad you shared it with the guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
That's the kind of music that needs to be out right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it really does. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't hurt my feelings for it to be out, that's for sure. Yeah.
Steve, are you part of the gang vocal too when it's in the studio?
No, I don't sing a lick, and no. that's good for everyone.
He just beats skins for a living. He's good, right? Yeah.
Just give me a set of drums.
Oh God!
So that's it.
One time on one of our pop albums, the outro of the song, there was a repeating couple of lines, and so I don't know who got the idea, but they brought me out as part of the group sing, and I actually kept my vocal in that, and that's the only time I've ever sung with this band.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. But hey, when you play it, you go, hey, that's me. In fact, I hear it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the Ocean is the only song that John Bonham you can hear his vocals on.
Oh,
really?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, now you're going to make me go listen to that song now.
Yeah. It's towards the end.
Make me. Yeah, it's Led Zeppelin. Like, I'm going to make me. Well, Steve, getting back to what I was asking you before, do you remember having either in a rehearsal or a song was played, run through once, and you went, wow, that memory you have?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some really great songs. One of the best parts of what's going on right now is JP and Sonny have hit their stride as writers again. And Million Miles Later just happens to be one of my favorite tracks, and I decided – and Sonny thought it was a good idea to take kind of a Stuart Copeland approach, The Police. There was one song in particular, I've forgotten which one it was. He just played straight ahead as he could, and it was magic in that song. And so I thought that was a good fit for Million Miles Later. And now, and Sonny and JP now are producing our records. So Sonny signed off on the idea.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're saying Stuart Copeland did a drum track that was straight through?
None of his. Yeah. I'll tell you what it was. I think we were talking about Every Breath You Take.
Yes, that's it.
It's pretty much straight ahead. I mean, yeah. There might be a little
great
accent,
point.
You know, yeah. accent thing, but it's just straight ahead. I mean, it just drives it to the house. And that's what we were talking to Steve about, you know, with this track, just straight ahead, man, you know, just in the groove.
Get that urge though sometimes when you're like, can I just do a little.
Well, you know, a long time ago, first of all, when Kiss You All Over became such a big hit, then that kind of established our sound. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I was cloning the Barry White record, and he had played it that way. So that was part of our sound. Then I think through the years, we became more and more known as a vocal band. And now, well, as much as pretty much as always been for me, my job is to create the best feel I can create and then stay out of the way of the vocals. So it's a trick. And now with Sonny and JP producing, that aspect of our recording is really under a microscope now. So, you know, I think if I were a younger man, I'd probably be frustrated. But at my age, no, I understand it all now. And so it's my job, and that's what I do, and I really enjoy it.
Cool. So you never had an ego drummer saying, I need to be more heard in the background.
Oh yeah, I've had plenty of egos, and I've had those thoughts every album, you know.
But not from the vocal perspective. You're not like, well, if Don Henley and Roger Taylor are singing, I'm going to sing.
Yeah, and you know, and every producer we've ever had too has sort of directed me to keep it simple and stay out of the way of the vocals, and so it's just who we are, and you know. It can be a job that I like, or it can be my cross to bear. It's however I want to look at it.
You know, I'm going to brag on Steve a second.
Go ahead.
You know, one of our favorite drummers is Jeff Porcaro. Was Jeff Porcaro?
Toto.
Yeah.
Yes, Porcaro. You know, and plus all the other tracks that he played on for every artist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He never played a solo. Never. Never. But he was a groove meister. And that's what Steve is for Exile. You know, I mean, it's not that he can't play.
He's the heartbeat.
Or this, that, and the other. Steve, every night, I don't have to worry. All I got to do is worry about me playing my part. Because Steve lays it in the track, you know, in the groove. And as a bass player, I mean, you know, I couldn't ask for more, really. So,
thank you, Sonny.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now you can pay me later, too.
He's the timekeeper then, right?
Very much. Right in. Very much timekeeping. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Well, another track I wanted to talk about is one you wrote with GP and Sharon called Nothing But a Thang. And it's an interesting note. Dean, you made a note. Now, I wonder, Dean, do you know the story of Heart and Soul by Huey Lewis?
No, I mean,
with Exile.
No.
All right. I'm going to summarize this with Sonny here, and he can back me up. But
yeah,
the song originally was recorded by Exile, Heart and Soul.
Yep. Yep.
And it didn't go anywhere. Then Huey Lewis got it, and then it became a hit. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
That's the story of Heart and Soul.
They copied the reverb, the cowbell. I mean, Huey even told us that one day backstage in an award show. He said, "Man, I don't know why it wasn't hit for you." He said, "We cut it just like you guys did." Mm-hmm. And it was the truth. Yeah.
Timing is everything.
It is. Yeah. You know, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this Nothing But a Thang. It's like, you know, there's definitely a Huey vibe on here.
I think.
It's got a groove, doesn't it?
It does have a groove. It really does.
Yeah.
Toe tapping, I think, is what I put on there, right? Yeah. I made notes myself. Toe tapping.
In my opinion, it might be the most R&B song on the new project.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I love it.
Love it.
Nothing But a Thang. Yeah. So let's do this. I'm going to hit mute again. Let's play a little bit of this track here. This is, again, Nothing But a Thang, as they say. And let me get this back here. Let me hit the big button here. All right, Nothing But a Thang is right here. Let's play this right now.
No, I ain't giving up on all the good things I crave. I float my own.
love that song. It just makes you feel good. It's that, and man, whenever you can introduce the claps in there, oh, that just makes it so
cool. Yeah, that ought to be a hit. I mean, that's good stuff there.
Oh man. Yeah. You know, I wish we were playing everything off the record, you know, live. Of course, we can't, but that would be a blast.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's very well produced. Very well produced album.
I agree.
Thank you.
Well done. Another song I wanted to hit on while we're here, Nothing But Sunshine Now.
Yeah.
And I want to call it out because we really lost Jimmy Buffett.
Yes.
And this song really gave me, like, if Buffett were around, I could see you guys playing that with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Truly.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally with his vocal, like, you and son, like, I think he would harmonize with you well, too.
I think it would have been a dream come true, man, if that could have happened, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Fan? Were you a Buffett fan, Sonny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, oh, sure. You know. In fact, I think we even kind of talked about somehow, you know, man, I mean, it was mentioned it would be really cool if we could have Buffett sing on the track, you know, but of course nothing ever came of it. And unfortunately he passed away. So, you know, just a tragedy, but it does have that flavor to it for sure.
You know, when you deep dive like into Jimmy Buffett, right? Everyone knew about his, you know, he wrote all the Key West, you know, laid back sitting on a beach music. But his first two albums were so deep lyrically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a tremendous songwriter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely was. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
He has like a religious type song. I think it was about like church going people, but they're not really religious. Or they don't live by what they're doing. That song just hit me so hard. And
talking about Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw?
No, not that one.
Oh my gosh, I forgot that's about that song.
That's a good church song. Yeah, there you go.
Oh my. Parahead.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You're a parahead, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Proud favorite right there.
What's remarkable? What's remarkable to me about Jimmy Buffett, as well as his songwriting and all the success he had with his music, he would just get right over in the other side of his brain, and he was a business master. I mean, I'm assuming that he was the foundation of all that activity, or maybe he just had a great business team around him, but he built an empire.
Like Margaritaville? You were talking
about? Yeah, he built an empire around that song and around the flavor of his career.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
It was smart.
Yep. Not many songs, too. There's only a handful of songs. Like, obviously, Sweet Caroline, where people add in the bop, bop, bop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But with Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, you're salt, salt, salt. Like, people come up with their own little thing in there, like their chants. It's funny. Yeah. It's like there's only a handful of songs that you can think of where people can – stadium cheer type songs. That was one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So getting into Nothing But Sunshine Now.
Yeah.
Were you sitting on a beach when you wrote this? You wrote this with Clay Mills and Mark Selby.
Yeah. At one point in time, I had a little, you know, just for fun, we had a songwriting trio that we would play out whenever we could, you know, whenever there wasn't an Exile thing. And it was just called Selby Mills LeMaire. And, you know, unfortunately, about 5 years ago, Mark Selby, who was a great guitar player, songwriter, you know, just a human being, passed away to cancer. And it hurt a lot, his passing. But the three of us wrote a bunch of songs together, a bunch of them. And this is one of those songs that we wrote that we just loved. And when we finished this track, I sent it to his widow, Tia Sillars, and she flipped out. She just thought it was so cool to hear it, you know. I'm so proud of the song. I mean, and again, it's just one of those things where we were conjuring up an idea, and it just came out this way. And the band, I think, just did a stellar job on it.
Do a lot of times, you know, we were kind of hinting at it, but are there times, Sonny, where you go – yeah, this really, because we were talking about Valentine's Sky, You sit there and go, now this isn't really an Exile song. I'm going to keep this one. Do you go through that in your process sometimes?
Kind of not anymore. I mean, I'm not going to do a solo project or anything like that. I think there are songs in my catalog and JP's too that if we do another project, which I hope we do, we can, go back and pull out some things from past, from years ago that we wrote that would fit Exile to a T today.
I have a good story along these lines.
Go ahead.
Probably in the early 90s, and we're probably getting ready to do our second album for Arista. And so we're at rehearsal, and Sonny said, I got a song. It's going to be great. We'll see what you think of it. And he played When She Cries.
Oh, Restless Heart.
Right? Yeah. And so we, song finished, and we all sat there, and we're looking at each other.
Now, this is the demo I played.
Yeah, the demo. Recorded it. Yeah, yeah. They had just written it. He had just written it with Mark Beeson. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he brought it in to us, to see if we wanted to record it. So we, the demo finished playing, and we all kind of hemmed and hawed around. And we finally said, Sonny, don't hear it. It doesn't it's just really not a song for us.
Wow.
And so Sonny said, okay. Packed up and took it to Restless Heart, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Wow. Did you, when you heard it on the radio, Steve, were you like, oh man, I got that one wrong?
Yeah.
Do you know, I believe JP wrote, but do you know if Closer You Get by Alabama, was that a similar story, or was that written? Do you know if that was written for Alabama?
Well, back Closer You Get and Take Me Down were both written and recorded by Exile in 1980. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were written specifically for us and put on an album called Don't Leave Me This Way. And
that was when we were recording as a pop act.
Yeah. And both songs were released to pop radio as singles. I mean, and did nothing. And JP, his publisher eventually sent him to Nashville. And then Alabama heard him, Take Me Down at first, recorded that smash. Then they listened to Closer You Get, recorded that, titled the album Smash, gargantuan song. So they, we recorded them, written specifically for us. And sometimes it just didn't, why it didn't work, I'll never be able to explain it, but it didn't.
Yeah. Wow.
That's like three stories, right? Where you had songs done by other people that become big that you originally had first. You sometimes sit there and go, what the hell is it about us? What the hell?
Well, and then when we recorded Heart and Soul and the same thing happened, just not a hit for us. It does make you wonder, what is going on? But certainly interspersed with all this, we started having hits in country music, of course, and you just realize it's a crazy business, and to have a hit at anytime you can have a hit, it's a miracle. I mean, absolute miracle. So we were very fortunate as to why the others didn't hit for us. I'll never know.
Could just be a different promotion team.
Well, that's very possible.
You hear all the time of artists asking to be released from the label because they feel like the promotion team is not carrying the ball. And it could be true in some cases.
Oh, yeah, it can be true.
There are so many factors that go into having a hit, and it does require a crack team. One thing we've learned for sure, the music has to be right. When the music is right, the dominoes begin to fall. And if the music is not right, then it's an uphill battle for everyone.
But even if the music is right, as the case in point, Take Me Down, Closer You Get, or Heart and Soul.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't work.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Stormy, did you have your five questions here too, or just?
I can.
All right, so Stormy's got a thing.
This will be interesting.
So Stormy's taking a page out of the James Lipton
interviewing thing. Yeah, just call me Stormy Lipton.
She's got five questions for you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, why don't you ask a couple, Stormy, and we'll get back to our song here.
Hey, guys, what's your favorite word?
Favorite word? I can't say it.
Okay. That would go along with your favorite curse word, so I'll just note that.
Oh, I love the F word.
Yeah.
Says it all, doesn't it?
And we're not saying food. You're not saying food.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. I saw a blurb on something. They were talking about profanity. And they are short words, four letters. And they usually end with a sharp sounding consonant. And so the quick and the sharp cutoff makes them very effective. So there you go. There's a little
the formula little of a curse word. I love it.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, go ahead, Stormy.
What's your favorite noise to hear? I already know what you're gonna say, Steve. I just know it.
Well, then that makes one of us. favorite noise? Music, I guess.
She thought you were going to say drums probably,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah.
The sound of the drums. Yeah. Okay. Can I just say this real quick, Steve? There is, to me, one of my favorite sounds is a well mic'd snare.
I
love the sound of a snare when it's mic'd right. It's like a goosebump thing for me, a snare drum, right?
Yeah, buddy.
I absolutely agree. We had one album produced by Elliot Shiner, and Elliot actually engineered a bunch of the Steely Dan stuff.
He was with Roger Nichols. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He was just masterful as an engineer, and I couldn't believe the sound he got on my drums, and snare drum particularly.
Yeah.
There's a whole science to engineering and miking drums, and
sure there is.
And when you do it right, it's magic. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sonny, what was your favorite noise?
What, bass guitar? What, are you kidding me?
Well, do you still have the song, like the bass guitar, where you wrote some of your iconic songs on? Do you write them on bass or do you write them on acoustic?
No, write them on acoustic.
You do write them on acoustic. Yeah.
Now, I have, I was telling you earlier about Nothing But Sunshine Now. Because the three of us, when we got together, Mark was such a great guitar player. Clay played great acoustic too. I may have played bass in the writing of the song, because sometimes it would lead to a different, the bass note kind of controls where the chord is going, what it is. So on occasion with them, I would write on bass also, but primarily I write on acoustic guitar.
So like When She Cries, you wrote that on acoustic?
Yes. Acoustic. Yeah.
Man.
Sure did. Yeah.
Great question, Stormy. Well, let's do this. Since we talked about that song, I don't think I played it yet. Nothing But Sunshine Now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So let me play a little bit of that for everyone here. This is nothing.
Tell you what, the outro is great on this too, by the way.
All right, let me skip to the outro too. I think
check it out.
Let me go on my note here. What do I have here? I have just the whole song. So let me shoot ahead to the outro, because you're right. So I'm going to hit mute here, and we're going to go to the outro and check this out. This again is Nothing But Sunshine Now. I mentioned about the Buffett vibes in this, but it's just an incredible song. So let's get to about the outro here. This song is 3:56, so let's just play the last minute. Go to 2:58.
Mm-hmm. Not a cloud in the sky.
That is a new song from Exile. Doing my little radio DJ with the fade out. But that is so incredible. And I Wonder if that. Did you guys hear it at all?
I could hear the song.
Yeah, did you hear it? Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I realized I missed a button there, but I guess you still heard it.
Yeah.
There's Beach Boys in that outro harmony for sure.
Kinda.
Yeah,
that kinda. Higher.
Yeah.
Vocal
depth.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, man.
Thank you, guys.
Love that stuff.
Man.
All right, we got 5 minutes left. Do you have one more, Stormy?
Yeah. As I asked this, what profession, other than what you do now, what would you like to attempt?
Okay. I know what I would. I know.
Go ahead.
I want to scuba dive badly.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Yeah, badly. I want to do it.
Go do it.
I'm going to figure out a way to do it.
I couldn't regulate. I panicked. I tried. I can't get that down. Like, no, get me out of here. I'm done.
That would be a problem. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I want to do.
Scuba diving.
Yeah. Steve?
Years ago, I mapped out a motorcycle trip that went, made a circle around the entire U.S. It was 5,400 miles.
Oh, wow.
And I wouldn't do it on a two-wheel motorcycle now, but I still would like to do it. I bought a Can-Am Spyder, which is a three-wheel bike, and I would do it on the bike I have now. And I still think about that. I still think about doing that.
Didn't Neil Peart did that, or did he go across Canada and then down through Mexico?
Yeah, he went everywhere. Yeah,
yeah.
He did go everywhere. He did. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, I think he spent 4 years on his bike.
Ghost Rider? It was called Ghost something like that was the name of the book he put out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about while we got a couple minutes left with you was Down in the Water. Down in Cold Water. Yeah,
I forgot that. I love that one.
Since you were talking about scuba diving now, but this is Down in the Cold Water, and the reason why, I'll just start with this. I'm gonna hit mute. Just going to play the intro because we're talking about harmonies. This is so damn incredible. Out of the gate, we'll pretend Steve is singing too, but this is Down in Cold Water right here. Here it is.
I go down in cold water. Down in cold water.
I go
down in cold water. Till my sins go floating away. Hallelujah, my brother. Hallelujah, my sister. Down in cold water. Till my sins go floating away.
Holy smokes. I think Stormy wrote, taking us to church. Yeah, she's got her goosebumps there.
That's what I was thinking too.
It took us to, let me get them off mute here.
How about that?
Took us to church, Sonny, there.
Yeah.
Yep, you took me to church. See the hair on my arm stand up? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's this?
Yeah.
Do you do those? Oh, go ahead, Steve.
We actually had the Isaacs come in. Are you familiar with the Isaacs? They're a vocal band from Eastern Kentucky, I believe. And just a phenomenal family vocal band. And that's them singing on the tracks with J.P. Les and Sonny. And boy, did they nail it.
Yeah,
they
did.
They sure did.
Very cool. Yeah.
You know, one of the goosebumpy things I've ever seen is those moments where they will capture like the Eagles in the green room before they're taking out an arena stage, and they're all singing these vocals a cappella.
Yeah.
And you're like Goosebump City. Do you warm up like that too before a show?
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we do. Yeah, we do. We'll sing something before we go out. We sure do.
That's magic right there. You could almost record that and put that out as an album one day of just you warming up before the show.
Actually, yeah. I warm up my own vocals before the show. It's a pointless thing to do, but I do it anyway.
Because you never know. You never know. All the mics may go down except for yours, and you got to carry the show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Recently, we were playing with Alabama, and Teddy Gentry usually comes in our dressing room before we go on. He just comes and hangs out with us. And as a joke, I started singing. Earlier that day, we had talked about me not singing. And so he's standing there. And as a joke, I started singing. And he looked at the other guys and said, "Now I understand."
Now, wait a minute. You said earlier in the day, y'all were talking about you not singing. Like, do people come to go, "Okay, look, you're not going to sing tonight, right?"
No. Well, no. Actually, what he did, Teddy asked me, "What's that song that you sing?" And I said, "I don't sing a song." He actually thought that I was singing one of the songs, but I wasn't. So then, when I finally did let him hear my voice, he understood.
Well, you heard what Sonny said. You're the heartbeat of the band. Yeah. You keep that heartbeat going, and that without you, there's no heart.
Well,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, besides our vocal sound, which, you know, is very distinctive. Again, the way Steve, me, Marlon, JP, Les, the way we play together on our songs on stage is also a very signature thing. It's what makes Exile Exile, you know, the whole thing.
That's why it's called a band.
That's exactly right. You know, we did a cruise earlier this year, and it was called the Rock and Romance Cruise. And we met a band on there, a British band called Climax Blues Band.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about from the 70s. Great. I mean, amazing band. And we struck up a friendship. And we've kept in touch with them. So about maybe 2.5-3 months ago, they contacted us and asked if we would sing on their new song that they want to release in the UK and Europe, if we would do background harmonies for it. And we said, absolutely. So we did. It's called Facing My Fear. It's a great, you talk about R&B. I mean, the singer is amazing in the thing. When we put our background. Well, it's not done yet. They got horns on it. It's an amazing song. So I don't know when it's coming out. I mean, they're going to let us know, but we're going to have, you know, a song in the UK on the pop charts with them. And who knows how that'll turn out, but it's pretty cool.
You guys could do a cover of Couldn't Get It Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be nice.
Couldn't Get It Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and then they could do Kiss All Over, and then you just trade off. Just do a trade off.
Sure. Be great.
Well, it's been an honor again to have you back, Sonny. Great to meet you, Steve, and have you here.
Nice thank you. It's been great. Steve. Yeah, thank you, Stormy.
Thank you, Sonny. Again.
Thank you, Stormy.
Yeah.
Thanks, yes. Guys.
Great. Right. Thank you, guys. Have a great, great evening, everyone, and be safe.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you, Steve. Bye, Steve.
Bye, Sonny.
Bye, guys. Bye, everybody. Bye.